Welcome to the Bills Breakdown Podcast. I am Nate Schreiber, and as always, with my co-host, Alex Pollinger.
All right, guys, we are into off-season mode now that the Super Bowl is over. Unfortunately, the Pats came home with it again, but the Bills have a lot to look forward to, or at least fans do, coming with the off-season here. The Bills should be big players in free agency, and they have an opportunity to add some talent in the draft, picking in the top 10, so we're going to do what we did last year and go position group by position group here throughout the roster, talk about what's on the roster, what's available in free agency, and what the Bills might do in the draft at those positions. Today, we're going to talk about quarterback, and we're going to combine it with special teams because for the first time in a long time, the Bills have a plan at quarterback, not just at the starting position, but at both backup spots too, Nate.
Yeah, I mean, we know right now who the three quarterbacks are going to be for the Buffalo Bills next year, barring some major injury. Unless one of those guys gets hurt and it's going to be out for the year, we know it's going to be Josh Allen, Derek Anderson, and Matt Barkley. Probably Barkley will be the backup, but yes, those three guys.
Yeah, you'd have to think, if you're Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean, you don't want Derek Anderson to ever have to take the field again. He's there to just kind of serve as, you know, scout team quarterback and kind of mentor Josh Allen. We saw how that went when he got on the field. I mean, he wasn't as bad as Peterman was, but it wasn't, you know, a guy you want to turn to keep your season afloat if something happens to Allen and Barkley.
Yeah, absolutely not. And he got a concussion last year. He has a concussion history. He probably doesn't want to get hit in the head again. I wouldn't if I were him. So I assume his ideal situation is him not seeing the field either.
Yeah, and he's only signed for 1 year. Correct me if I'm wrong there, Nate. So this could be very well Derek Anderson's last year in the NFL. And if it's not, I can't see him coming back for more than, you know, another one-year deal in 2020.
Yeah, I mean, if he can sit on the roster and be the third string kind of second quarterback coach, I think he would be okay with that going forward. There's no scenario in my head that where I can see him wanting to actually play.
Yeah, and it's great to see the Bills not only have what they hope is their long-term solution at starting quarterback. Barkley's locked up through the end of 2020 as well, I think, Nate. So they actually have a viable backup quarterback. Not saying Matt Barkley is some sort of, you know, like star backup quarterback like Nick Foles, but you don't feel terrible if you have a good roster around him turning it over to him if something were to happen to Allen.
No, I mean, you saw what he could do in the one game he got to start this past season. He's not going to be some superstar throwing for 350 yards a game or anything, but if you put him in control of an offense with a couple weapons around him and a decent running game, he can win you a football game.
Yeah, and in this day and age in the NFL, you need to have a backup quarterback like that. I mean, we've seen guys go down. Nick Foles won a Super Bowl MVP somehow. He wasn't a very good starter outside of the 1 year with Philly. So you just need a guy like that if you want to be a contender, you know, regardless of what happens to your starting quarterback.
Yeah, the Bills quarterback situation is in the best shape it's been in a very, very long time. There's not been the stability that we see now and are hopefully going to see for the foreseeable future since I don't even know when.
Yeah.
In the 90s?
Yeah, I mean, before I really understood what I was watching.
Yeah, so that's we're very happy to not have to do an entire pod episode on just the quarterbacks this year.
Yeah, I mean, we filled a lot of the off-season talk with quarterbacks last year. That was exciting leading up to the draft, but I almost think it's just as exciting this year now that they know who the quarterback is, because there's a lot of directions they can go. It's going to be fairly unpredictable.
Yeah, and it's exciting to be a fan of a team that actually has a quarterback. Not saying that Josh Allen's going to be some perennial All-Pro, but you know, we have a quarterback for the foreseeable future. And it feels pretty good to be a fan of a team like that, because I think as a Bills fan, I've never felt that feeling since I remember being a Bills fan.
Yeah, the easiest way to have long-term sustainable success in the NFL is to have a decent starting quarterback that stays with your franchise for 15 years. And I think, look at a team like the Chargers. They're always in contention, you know, to be a playoff team because they have a good starting quarterback. And you know, we don't know if Josh Allen's going to turn into Phillip Rivers, but I think he's above that, you know, so-called Mendoza line for quarterbacks, at least from what we saw. So we know he's going to be the quarterback through, you know, his five-year rookie deal when they exercise that fifth-year option. And like you said, Nate, we haven't seen that in a long time. When's the last time you knew who the Bills quarterback was going to be for the next 4 years?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much never, because even the two best quarterbacks the Bills have had since the play, since the before the big playoff drought, Drew Bledsoe, Tyrod Taylor, both every year they were here, it was like, okay, are they going to stay another year? Are they going to get rid of him? There was always questions about it.
Yeah, the long-term plan was always, you know, in doubt. So I think it's going to be interesting. As long as nothing happens to Josh Allen, you know, health-wise, or, you know, him just all of a sudden falling off a cliff and playing like Blake Bortles, we know who the starter is going to be for a few years.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's a good feeling to have. I'm sure the franchise and the coaching staff and management all feel really, really good about that. And I'm glad that we don't have to dedicate an entire episode to quarterbacks. However, probably the weakest link on the entire Bills, especially towards the end of the season, was an entire unit, which was the special teams.
Yeah, I mean, there was one bright spot on the special teams unit, and that was the long snapper, Reed Ferguson, I think that's his name.
Yeah, they just re-signed him to a three-year extension, too, so he'll be the long snapper going forward.
Yeah, that's a very underrated, you know, position on a team. Reed Ferguson's been really good the 2 or 3 years he's been in Buffalo. I don't remember a single mistake on a snap, and that's really important. You know, if you don't notice the long snapper, he's doing a good job, and I was happy to see the Bills lock him up for a few years.
Yeah, it's an important position that no one really ever talks about, because when you do your job well, you're not noticed, because you don't mess up. If you don't mess up snaps, no one's going to notice you. And it's super important to have a guy that can do that job well, because there are not 32 people that play the sport that are that good at the job.
Yeah, and Sal Capaccio of WGR actually had a good little video working with Reed Ferguson just to show how hard long snapping is. It's something you kind of take for granted as a fan, but you know, it's good that the Bills have that locked up. But Nate, like you said, special teams was just atrocious this year for the Bills. And that's, you know, Crossman got fired. They've got a new guy in there, and they're going to have a new punter. I can't imagine they bring any of those guys back as the, you know, dedicated starter.
No, I'm sure at least one or two of them will get a camp invite, because it can't hurt to bring like four punters into camp if you have no idea who your punter's going to be. It's not so you don't have to bring 1,000 quarterbacks in or anything. And kind of have them battle it out. But none of the guys they used were any good this whole year. Dar was someone who I thought, because of his history in Miami, was going to be good. He has averaged like 47 yards a punt in his career. Then he comes to Buffalo and was like kicking ducks all over the field. I think he only averaged 40 yards a punt. Just the entire unit. I was looking at Football Outsiders earlier, and their special teams rating, the Bills were last. Their weighted special teams rating was -6.6%.
That's bad. That's really, really bad.
It's really bad. And that was more than 2% worse than the next worst team. Like, it was they're so bad that, yeah, I was very surprised they were that bad.
Nate, I haven't really looked at the punter market for free agents. Is that somewhere we could see the Bills spend $2 or $3 million a year on a guy that's a, you know, good punter?
I think potentially. I don't know what the punter market looks like. The only guy, actually, there's one guy I know who's going to be a free agent. And that was Marquette King. He used to be one of the best punters in the NFL, but he kind of like fell out with Raiders, went to the Broncos. I'm pretty sure he's going to be free agent after this year, and I'm curious to see if he's someone the Bills can sign.
Yeah, that is an interesting one, Nate. I'm not entirely sure a lot of teams let good kickers and punters go. So, I don't know. Marquette King got cut by the Raiders. And like you said, he wasn't as good this year. So it'll be interesting to see if there's a bit of a market for him for teams that don't have a punter like the Bills. You have to imagine the Bills, if they don't sign a guy for $2 or $3 million a year as a, you know, guaranteed punter, which I'm not seeing any on the list here. other than him. So I would expect the Bills to maybe take a swing at the end of the draft, maybe on day three in like round seven or something, or just bring in undrafted free agents to compete for that job.
Yeah, I've always been of the opinion. I mean, there's not very often that a guy that's draftable comes out of that you really want to spend a draft pick on. And I think you could bring in a couple guys, an undrafted free agents, and just see who ends up working out. Someone's going to end up being good enough to be the punter, or at least what I think the Bills want to try to avoid is just continuing to cut and re-sign punters, because then the holder is different every third game. And it makes for the kicking game much. And we actually saw some of that, some of those struggles this past season.
Yeah, I mean, we had the game where Corey Bohorquez, you know, apparently thought a fake was on or something. We never really did figure out what happened there.
Yeah, you want to avoid those situations. And because the punter is also the holder, continuing to change that is not something I think the Bills want to do this year. So I would hope their plan is to go out and find some guy they think can be the long-term solution at punter.
Yeah, so Nate, another interesting question here is, Steven Hauschka's coming into the third year of his deal, I believe, with the Bills. Will they bring in someone to compete with him? Because he wasn't as good last year. I know he got hurt in that game against the Jets on that cheap shot, and that might have affected his ability to kick the rest of the season, but he was like hitting the crossbar from 43 yards out or something that last game.
Yeah, I don't know. What's weird to me is that they let him continue to kick if he was hurt. But then he was so bad, then why didn't you, like, it's so confusing to me why he continued to be the kicker when he was that bad for, like, four games. I just don't exactly understand that. But
I guess
I would think they'll bring someone in to camp, because yes, you're right. He's in the last year of his deal. I think if they cut him, it's like $1 million that dead money, which is that's it. So it's not that much. And if he wasn't hurt and he was actually kicking that poorly at the end of last year, and that's what he's gonna be like, you can't have him be your kicker.
Yeah, a lot of times, like last year going into the draft, we're listening to pundits that don't really know anything saying, oh, in Buffalo, you need a quarterback with a strong arm that can throw in that wind and cold, which is kind of BS, because, I mean, how many games do the Bills play in the cold and the wind in Buffalo? Maybe two or three a year. But I think it matters more for kickers than a quarterback, Nate. I mean, if you are an outdoor team, you need a guy that can kick in the wind.
Yeah, you do. And Hauschka has been that guy. And, I mean, even this past year, he made 15 field goals in a row. Before that cheap shot, and then after that he was like 6 for 11.
Yeah, I think that sounds right.
So I'm assuming he was hurt and he can continue to be that guy, but yes, I completely agree with your point, Alex.
Yeah, so I do think I there's 90 guys that come to training camp. I expect at least two punters. I don't know if it'll be anybody that was on the roster in the last year, maybe. I expect them to bring a second kicker in, either through free agency or maybe an undrafted free agent rookie kicker. I think Hauschka at this point in his deal needs to be challenged a little bit, even if, you know, the poor performances at the end of the year were due to injury. It's always good to challenge, you know, an entrenched starter at a position like that.
Yeah, it absolutely is, especially when it's not going to cost the team any money to get rid of him. Like last year, for them to do that wouldn't have made a lot of sense, because it was like $4 million to cut him, which is less than they were paying him for the season. So it didn't really make a huge difference. But I think that it never hurts to challenge your special teamers, especially at a position like that, where there's so many guys out there that are willing to take a shot. And you never really know what you're going to find. Some of the best kickers that have been kind of came out of nowhere, so you never know what you can find out there.
Yeah, and I expect guys like Will Lutz to be re-signed by their team, Kaimi Fairburn, younger guys like that that have been really good kickers. Teams aren't going to let them go. They'll pay them, I think. So, Nate, I think that kind of covers special teams. Let's transition back to quarterback shortly. Because Derek Anderson is, you know, older and probably in his last year in the NFL, maybe last two, do you see the Bills adding anyone in free agency to kind of challenge for a backup role in training camp?
I think, yes, they will bring at least four quarterbacks to camp, but that doesn't mean the fourth guy is going to have any realistic opportunity of making the roster.
Right, I think you're right. I'm looking down the list of free agent quarterbacks. I don't see any of these guys as someone that the Bills would bring in, given that Matt Barkley's pretty young for a backup quarterback. I think he's 27 or 28, right, Nate?
Yeah, I think he's 28 years old. So they already have him signed for 3 seasons, and if he continues to perform well, he could potentially be the backup for 10.
Yeah, that's right. And yeah, he's 28 years old. So I don't see them bringing in any of the guys that are, you know, notable free agents. They won't be in the Nick Foles market for sure, because he'll be a starter somewhere. Teddy Bridgewater will likely be a starter or a highly paid backup. I don't think they want Ryan Fitzpatrick coming to Buffalo, because it's just a curse that if you have Ryan Fitzpatrick, your starter ends up getting hurt and he ends up being your starter.
Yep, and then he goes off for like 3 or 4 games. You think he's going to finish the season, and then he just decides he doesn't want to be good anymore.
He's done that to like 7 teams now, including the Bills once. So,
yep, he got the Bills to sign him to the stupidest contract the Bills have signed probably in the last 15 years.
Yeah, that was like the Albert Haynesworth of quarterback contracts.
Yeah, what in the? No one thought that was the right move at the time, except for whoever the heck ran the Bills.
Yeah, so I could see maybe a guy like Trevor Siemian or something to come in and challenge for that, you know, third backup spot or something if Anderson just looks completely incompetent or something, and they could transition him to a coaching role. But other than that, I don't see an option in free agency that's going to cost them, you know, not much at all on the cap.
Yeah, and I think the highest chance in terms of where they're going to get a player from is they're going to get a guy, an undrafted free agent or something like that, and bring him into camp. And then, because maybe you end up putting him on your practice squad or something like that.
Yeah, Nate, I think that's the more realistic option here is either a really late day 3 pick. I think they have 2 7th-round picks, if I remember right. And they could either pick a guy late there if there's not anything else they like, or, like you said, an undrafted free agent that would just kind of be a practice squad guy.
Yeah, and the Bills, I mean, looking at their practice squad from week 1, and you see how many of those guys ended up on the 53 by the end of the season, which is actually all of them but 2, which is pretty impressive. They didn't all finish the season on the 53, but they all played at least a couple games, and like Levi Wallace was a starter at the end of the year. Keith Ford was getting a ton of touches at the end of the year. Both those guys started on the practice squad. Same thing with Dean Marlowe. Just because I think the Bills have been able to use their practice squad well, but they can, because of how often guys move on from there, I think it'd be pretty easy for them to stash a quarterback there if they feel like doing so.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be. Obviously, they're not looking for like a diamond in the rough starter. They're just looking for a guy that, you know, can be Matt Barkley or Derek Anderson maybe in a year or two if those guys have moved on, you know, to retirement or another team.
Yeah, exactly. Or if there's someone gets hurt, even in practice, it's nice to have another option. Especially because if Matt Barkley gets hurt, you got to have some sort of a plan for that. I mean, your hope is that he doesn't get hurt and nothing happens to him, but you never know.
Yeah, so I think the long story short here, we know where quarterback pretty much stands from starter to third string right now, unless there's some sort of injury. So we might see, you know, a guy we've never heard of come into camp and maybe make the practice squad to be a long-term development backup. But, Nate, I feel pretty good about quarterback this year for the Bills.
Yeah, so do I. I'm excited to see the steps that Josh Allen takes from year 1 to year 2. I expect to see a huge progression from him going into year 2. And I think if we don't see a big progression, then you're going to see a lot of his doubters really come to life and start being even louder than they were at the end of the season.
Yeah, and that's something we can really get into as we approach training camp after we see how the Bills are trying to shape the roster around him after free agency and the draft. And I'm really looking forward to those discussions. So we'll keep this pod nice and short for you for the first position group series going into free agency and the draft. Next week, Nate, I think we can get into the offensive skill positions, running backs, wide receivers, tight ends, and there's a whole lot to talk about there.
Oh, yeah, there is. I mean, there's a pretty good chance that the Bills are going to have a completely different skill position group than they had this past season. I would say it's more likely than not that it's vastly different group of guys.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be a really fun discussion next week. So, Nate, is there anything else you'd like to add before we wrap this one up?
I would like to add that I feel very bad for the Miami Dolphins.
Oh.
They somehow managed to take the worst special teams coach in the NFL and decide it was a good idea to sign him to be their special teams coach. So, I feel pretty bad for them.
Yeah, I think I was a year too early on picking the Dolphins to pick first in the draft. That was my preseason prediction, but I think they're the early favorites for 2020.
Maybe they are forward-thinking, and they signed Crossman knowing he's really bad because they want to lose. And then they'll just fire him once they get the number one pick. Maybe that was their plan.
That would be a heady play by the Miami Dolphins. But given the state of the AFC East the last 20 years, I have little faith that they'll get this right.
Yeah, it's like the three non-Patriots teams just trade coaches back and forth all the time and never figure out that it's not a good idea. None of them ever win. And then the Patriots, who have Belichick, just end up winning every single year. It's like, oh, these are the only guys we can sign. They have to be coaches in our division.
It's almost like the answer to the problem is Bill Belichick and Tom Brady and not all the guys that kind of are lurking around the shadows around them there.
Yeah, it's. I'm glad the Bills finally decided to go a non-AFC East direction with their head coach signing. So, I'm looking forward to continuing the skill position discussion. I think it's going to be probably their most interesting position group discussion in the offseason.
All right, I'm looking forward to that, Nate. So that'll bring us to an end of this episode of the Bills Breakdown Podcast. I am your co-host, Alex Pollinger.
And I am Nate Schreiber.
Subscribe, download, give us a rating wherever you get your podcasts so that can help others find the pod. Do us a favor and share it with a friend. I think we're going to have some fun here each week leading up to free agency, talking about the position groups. We'll learn a lot about the team as we go, and I think we can help you guys learn a bit more about how the roster is constructed and what directions we'd like to see that go. So you can follow us on Twitter @Bills_breakdown. You can send us any questions or things you want us to talk about each week here, BillsBreakdownPodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening.